And my guest today on Nostalgia Town is Lex Marinos. Lex Marinos is an actor, broadcaster, and an all-round cultural activist known to many of us as Bruno from Kingswood Country. How are you today, Lex?
Very well, thanks, Jeff.
Lex, what were the formative cultural experiences you grew up with?
Well, there's two main ones I guess I would mention. I was brought up in regional New South Wales, in Wagga Wagga, in the pre-television era. So radio was a huge influence on me. That was the mass media of the day. It was, this, as I say, pre-television. So radio I loved because it had all of the things that as I was growing up as a boy, the things that I was interested in. It had drama series, it had sport, it had quiz shows, and above all else, it had pop music. So radio was definitely a very, very strong influence. And when I say pop music, you know, I'm of that generation, baby boomer generation, which embraced rock and roll, I guess, as a rebellion against our parents. But I didn't really have that sense because we always had a lot of popular music in the house playing and stuff like that. You know, I do remember Elvis Presley, and that was a huge impact. You know, and I was only 8 or 9 at the time, but I knew that something had shifted. I knew that society somehow was changing and it would never be the same again. So that was a huge influence. And the other major one, I guess, is that by virtue of my folks having a cafe, you know, the ubiquitous Greek cafe that you'd find in country towns, we often did a deal with the people who would bring touring travelling shows through town. In return for putting up their poster, we would get tickets to the shows. And so that was my first exposure to live theatre. And it was vaudeville. It was like old Tivoli shows, basically that format, you know, comedians, jugglers, very glamorous chorus girls, singers, magicians, contortionists, that kind of stuff. And I just loved it. I remember seeing a drag act at one of these shows, and I remember Mum being very concerned as the woman, this very glamorous woman, started to lose pieces of her clothing. I could see Mum was getting concerned, but my dad, on the other hand, was getting more and more interested. And so I thought, you know, I'm with Dad on this one. And the act proceeded, and the music got more and more frenzied and turbulent. And finally, you know, this woman seemed to have lost all of her clothing. And at the climax of the music, the big cymbal crash, she whipped off her wig, and she was a man. I remember it vividly. There was something about that made me think, this is the business I want to be in.
So let's talk a little bit more about the music of your age.
Once again, I've been very lucky throughout my life, extremely lucky. I've been able to, and privileged to be able to do what I wanted to do and make a kind of living out of it. When the family sold up in Wagga Wagga and moved to Sydney in the early 60s, it just so happened that we were living in a block of units, and there was a fabulous Lebanese family just above us in the units, and one of the girls in that family, Diane, she was working for one of the promoters who had shows at the Sydney Stadium. So it was still the days of the old Sydney Stadium in Rushcutters Bay, and through her we'd get tickets to all the rock shows that came through town. So it was the time of the British invasion in pop music, so saw all of those rock and rollers, all of that British new wave of performers, you know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Searchers, the Yardbirds, the Brian Poole and the Tremolos, Jerry and the Pacemakers, Freddie and the Dreamers, Dusty Springfield, you know, all that generation of pop. So I was exposed to a lot of that, and there were the Australian acts as well, you know, Johnny O'Keefe, Col Joy, Dig Richards, Johnny Reb, Johnny Devlin. You know, so I was heavily into rock and roll at that stage, and I still have some of that old vinyl at home. It was a formative time for me. I was a teenager, not knowing what I wanted to do, not really fitting in, being incredibly lonely, having left the security and safety of a small country town to be in a big, uncaring metropolis. I used to love going to the Sydney Stadium, as I said, but also the Sydney Cricket Ground was the other great temple of worship for me, where the rugby league was played and the cricket was played, and I used to go there every Saturday. At that same period, you know, just after the British invasion, folk music was taking hold as well, and I was a big folk music fan. I understood the significance of songs that wanted to say something, that had wanted to comment on 20th century life, songs that supported workers, people whose rights had been diminished or taken away, and they were addressed through music. So I understood that powerful feeling that music can produce as well. And out of that emerged Bob Dylan, of course. And I guess the biggest cultural moment of my life was seeing Bob Dylan at the Sydney Stadium in 1966 when he'd just gone electric. And I'm happy to say I've seen every subsequent Bob Dylan tour since then. But that one in 66 really, I was so transfixed by the power of art to be produced in the moment and to move a mass of people. That made a huge impression on me.
Is it fair to say, Lex, that there's a bit of a political dimension to your...
Oh, absolutely. And more so as I've become older and stuff. But I think I've always, even when I started out acting, I mean, obviously I was pleased to take whatever job came my way. The fact that I wanted to do work that was meaningful, I wanted to do work that was about the country I lived in, the experience of growing up in this country. And once again, you know, right place at the right time. At the late 60s, early 70s, when I was at university, was also, and when I first started thinking I might try and make a career out of it, it was a time when there was a strong sense of national identity coming through, that we were trying to separate ourselves from being a British colony and actually be an independent nation. And that was being reflected in a new wave of playwriting and theatre practice that was happening in all around Australia, but notably at the Nimrod in Sydney and the Pram Factory in Melbourne and, you know, the Hole in the Wall in Perth and La Boite in Brisbane and Theatre 62 in Adelaide. It was a time when we were starting to look at the notion of identity and diversity. So I found kind of ornamental plays and costume drama and that sort of stuff really didn't do it for me. I was much more interested in what might be if we examined our own culture and our own existence. And that filtered through to TV as well. And it still goes on, you know, to make it Australian, make up Australian programs for television. Stop pretending to be English or American, but make Australian programs. And that followed through in radio. So when 2JJ was set up by the ABC in the mid-1970s, that was a place where I was able to get some work.
And we know that you played an instrumental role in the very early days of Double J, even involved pre-broadcast with test broadcasting and stuff like that.
Well, that's true, and that was also happening in TV. People might find it hard to believe who are not of our generation, but there was a lot of ferment going on, and, you know, it was happening in TV, and SBS hadn't been set up then, but they did have a thing called Ethnic TV.
And now, having been so involved in the youth of so many of us, you are yourself getting a little bit older. You've just turned 70, haven't you, Lex?
Apparently. So, I prefer to think of the fact that I've turned 30 for the 40th time.
You are yourself ageing a little bit.
Yeah.
So, can ageing be fun, Lex?
There are aspects of it that unquestionably are not fun. Health is one of the things that it doesn't last forever, and no matter how healthy or we try and make our lifestyle, things happen. I mean, I guess the compensation is that you get smarter about what you need to do and how to use your body and what sort of things you can do that you can, or what sort of things you can't do or shouldn't do any longer. And that's part of the maturing process, I guess. I'd like to think I'm a bit wiser, but starting from a very low base.
Tell me about your social connections, Lex.
Oh, well, they're absolutely vital. I'm blessed in so many ways, but maybe the primary one is that I have a very caring, sensible wife. She's kind of the glue for the family, so she insists, and we've got four kids and multiple grandkids and stuff, so she insists that we get together at least once a week. That's non-negotiable. She equally insists that we go out, that we stay in touch with friends, that we do things because they are friends and because they value add to our life, and that we need to be out and about. I could be very solitary if I was left to my own devices. I would easily not go out, and I know that that's not good. So I know that every time she forces me to go out against my will, she said, "You always enjoy it when we get there," and she's right. I always do enjoy it. But I'm probably not the one who would make the effort to do it.
Very much an important part of being well as you age is being well connected.
Absolutely, and I'm aware of that. And, you know, for a lot of the horrendous things that happen on the internet and online, I mean, the opportunity to stay in touch with friends and acquaintances and to see what they're doing, a catch up and say happy birthday or saw you in that show or you know, good to see or good luck with the operation or, you know, whatever. That almost outweighs all the bad things about being online.
What would you like us to go out on today? Pick a song that's especially meaningful for you.
I guess I'd like something Australian, from a Greek-Australian composer. I'll probably do a little bit either from Themos Mexis or Tom Kazas, both good friends of mine.
Thank you, Lex Marinos, very much for joining us today on Nostalgia Town.
My pleasure, Jeff. Thanks.